For our first story, Victoria Hearst tackles the big one, Santa Claus. He's the biggest, jolliest lie in the Western world. For his sake, we've cleaned our rooms and smiled when our great aunts pinched our cheeks. Because of him, we believed wholeheartedly in the fairness of the world and in bearded old men from the North Pole. But what has he really taught us?
All the parenting books and blogs will tell you that the best way to raise a child to be honest is to be honest yourself. Teach by example. I think that generally parents try to do that, but there is one exception, one huge exception. Every year at Christmas, those same parents who constantly lecture and teach their children about honesty simultaneously lie to their children about Santa Claus. The myth that a plump, white-haired man circles the globe in a sleigh pulled by magical flying reindeer and squeezes through narrow chimneys, or worse, impossibly thin pipes, to leave presents for sleeping children all over the world. Once parents have lied to their children about Santa Claus, they come up with more elaborate lies to cover up their tracks.
Feeding Santa was like a big thing. Every Christmas Eve, we would think, oh, what are we going to feed Santa this year? And then so we'd pull out like carrots and stuff for the reindeer and then make cookies specifically for Santa. Every Christmas morning when we would check the plate of cookies, they would be like very well eaten. And there would like typically be a little mess around the plate too, and be like, oh, like one of the reindeers got at it.
This is my friend Rebecca Morielli. In a lot of ways, she's very tough. She just joined the Air Force, and she can do more push-ups than any other girl I know. But at the same time, she is exactly the kind of person you would expect to have believed in Santa Claus just a little too long. I got the idea to investigate what's behind the Santa Claus myth while I was talking with her. She told me that finding out the truth about Santa Claus just about broke her heart. It was so different from my own experience that I started asking everyone around me about how they found out the truth about Santa Claus. In doing so, I found out that the Santa Claus lie is really a very complicated affair. My friend Anish Mitra knows how far parents can go to try to keep the myth alive. His parents immigrated to the United States from India, and I was surprised to find out that growing up, Anish had believed in Santa. He remembers that one year, when he was about 4 or 5 years old, his family spent Christmas in India. They flew from their home in Washington State to Calcutta, where most of his extended family lived.
I was really terrified that like Santa Claus wouldn't find me. And I remember just like crying a lot because I was like, man, I was so good. Like I would have never done all those nice things for all of you. I would have known about this terrible thing that Sam won't be able to find me.
At this point, Anish's parents could have told him the truth. After all, none of their Indian relatives knew who Santa Claus was. Instead, Anish's parents decided to go all in. They enlisted the help of his grandparents and came up with an idea. They would bring Santa to India.
So my grandfather was like super rich, and he like got all of his like people and like carpenters, and they like put together this like beautiful tree. It was like 7 feet tall and it had like green foil on it.
Rather than tell Anish the truth, Anish's parents made him the biggest, most elaborate Christmas tree they could. They let him continue to believe. They lied to him because they knew that was what he wanted. He was only 5 years old, and he made it very clear that he wanted Santa to be real, and all of his Indian relatives pitched in too.
And like, I remember all my family members being like really confused about like what was happening. They're like, what? We have to like put the gifts on the tree? Like, we hang it up, or like we put them under the tree? So I was like a little dictator, and I told them like how it worked. And luckily, Santa Claus found me, so I was really happy.
As children get older, they naturally begin to question some of the facts of the Santa story. How is it possible that one man can visit every single home in the world in just one night? Why can't people visit his workshop in the North Pole? How does Santa fit so many presents into one bag? Ian Girard, an outdoorsy guy from Humboldt County, remembers that when he was 8, he began to get skeptical about Santa's existence. Unlike Anish, he didn't want to be lied to. He wanted to find out the truth, so he asked his parents.
I'd raised some issues with my parents, some potential loopholes in the story. So I woke up Christmas morning, and my parents had gone, what I came to find out, full out in proving the Santa story.
Ian's parents put together an elaborate plan to convince him of Santa's existence. They lodged oranges in the chimney, stamped reindeer hoof cutouts in the snow, and they even dragged 2x4s across the lawn to look like sleigh tracks, all to give the illusion that Santa really had been there the night before.
They were extremely careful to not leave any footprints anywhere around, and to this day, I have no idea how they did it.
The next morning, after assessing all the evidence left by his parents and reasoning away his doubts, Ian changed his mind and decided once again that Santa actually was real. But then, something strange happened.
After that morning, my parents, about an hour after we finished opening presents, told me that Santa wasn't real.
Ian's parents told him the truth. They admitted that they were the ones who had thrown the oranges in the chimney. They were the ones that had made the reindeer tracks in the snow. They confessed that after Ian and his sister had gone to bed, they stayed up and staged the entire thing.
So the day after they went to all that trouble to prove that Santa was real, they told you that it was just a lie.
I think they thought this sort of traumatized me, and I was severely torn up inside about it.
So they just put you out of your misery.
They just end the puzzling in a calm, peaceful way.
To Santa, I would write an annual letter where I would ask him how he was doing and general questions, trying to figure out more about him, like his favorite cookie or how much he weighed.
This is Ashley Artman. She is tall, elegant, and brilliant. She's the kind of person you'd expect to be on the cover of Time magazine one day. But when she was a kid, she had a soft spot for mythical creatures and people, Santa Claus being her favorite. Ashley grew up exchanging letters with Santa Claus.
And Santa was really great, and he always wrote me back, and he always answered all my questions, so it was really special. Honestly, like one of my favorite gifts from Santa every year would be his card.
Up until the fifth grade, Ashley believed that all the letters she had accumulated over the years really were from Santa Claus. One day, all of that changed when she found a crumpled piece of lined paper in the trash can, a draft of a response letter from Santa.
And I immediately knew that my parents were Santa Claus, and I had never heard anything otherwise that Santa was real or whatnot. So I just started bawling, and my mom walked in the kitchen, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, what's going on?" And I started like yelling at her, like, "You lied to me, like there's no Santa." And I was like, "What about the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy?" And I just had this mental breakdown.
Once you've stopped believing in the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy, where does it go from there? Where does the disillusionment end? My friends and I had grown up surrounded by adults who told us that Santa was real. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Santa was like a really friendly father figure who happened to be all-knowing. Coincidentally, this sounds a little bit like a childish understanding of God. So once you found out that Santa isn't real, do you also stop believing in God? In anything your parents tell you? Probably not, but you certainly begin to understand that the world isn't as black and white as it seems. Santa sent me on my own quest for truth. Growing up, I had no doubt that Santa existed. To this day, I remember one of my friends at school, Stephen, telling me that he had woken up in the middle of the night, went to his living room, and actually caught a glimpse of Santa leaving presents beneath the tree. I followed Stephen's example. Every year, for about 3 years, I attempted to stay up late enough to catch Santa. Finally, I did it. I stayed up past midnight, past 1 a.m. I stayed up until I heard Santa creep into the living room. I snuck from my bedroom to the hallway, and from the hallway to the living room, carefully avoiding the places in the floor that I knew would creak if I stepped too hard. I lingered just outside the living room and listened. My heart was pounding, and my palms began to sweat, but I was so excited that I barely noticed those things. I closed my eyes and sat very still. I wanted to hear every single sound. Santa picked up a bowl of applesauce we had left him and began to eat. Once he was about finished with it, he began scraping the sides of the porcelain dish, the way my father does when he is just about through with something. Suddenly, I knew that either my dad was eating Santa's food or that Santa just wasn't real. In that moment, I could have barged out into the living room and confronted my father. I could have asked him why he had told us to put out applesauce for Santa Claus if he was just going to end up eating it himself. But after you have believed in something for so long, and then suddenly find yourself on the verge of uncovering the truth, there's a part of you that wants to delay that moment and just hold on to the lie. My parents pretended Santa existed, and I believed them. It was a game we had played together, and I suddenly realized I didn't want it to end. So I walked back down the hallway to my room and went to bed. I didn't tell my brother or sister about what I had discovered. I didn't tell my parents. In retrospect, I learned a lot from playing the Santa game. I learned that my dad likes applesauce more than cookies. I learned how to gather evidence to solve a mystery. I learned that not all lies are necessarily bad. And I learned that I didn't need to share everything I thought with my parents. And perhaps I became a part of the lie too, because I didn't share my findings with my brother or sister. I still pretended to believe that Santa was real, even though deep down I knew that I had solved the puzzle. I was surprised to discover that one of my former college roommates, Rebecca Morielli, remember, she's my friend in the Air Force, had believed in Santa until she was 12 years old. I know what you're thinking, 12 years old? Really? But even now, she's our favorite person to play pranks on. Even now, she falls for everything. And back then, she fell for Santa hard. Rebecca grew up in a family that took the Santa Claus myth very seriously. Every Christmas Eve, they would throw flour on the living room floor to catch Santa's footprints. Her parents would disguise her handwriting on short cards written by Santa and his elves. And her father would tell her horror stories about how overly inquisitive children ended up not receiving any gifts for Christmas. Because Rebecca's parents had done such a good job convincing their daughter, eventually Rebecca's mother had to break the news to her. But it was kind of late in the game, so she thought she would take advantage of the other traditional moment of revelation, the puberty talk. Rebecca remembers that one day, after shopping for groceries, her mother made a detour.
I didn't really know what was going on, but my mom seemed a little suspicious. But then we went to this Christian bookstore, which she didn't often do, and then she picked out this book. I was like, oh, what are you getting? And she didn't say much about it.
That weekend, while Rebecca was spending time with her mom brought out the mysterious book that she had purchased and began reading it.
We start reading it, and there was like no introduction. She just like started reading it, and it was basically about like the whole reproductive system.
Rebecca had just started her period, and this was her mother's attempt at explaining to her that she was becoming a woman. She dropped words like ovaries and fallopian tubes and told Rebecca that her body produced eggs that could one day be fertilized.
And then she just said, and by the way, Santa isn't real. And like she kind of had like a downward tone in her voice. So I think she still kind of felt like bad about it.
Rebecca was traumatized. She felt as if a rug had been pulled from under her feet.
For me, it was like a really crushing moment, and I actually like broke down crying.
At first, I thought this was just strange timing. What does Santa have to do with the reproductive system? But then I realized Rebecca's parents were basically stripping away all the illusions of childhood in one fell swoop. Rebecca had just started her period, meaning that biologically she was entering the realm of adulthood. She was growing up. But growing up is marked by more than a series of physical changes. It is also a time when the world changes around you. When you're a child, your parents try to simplify the world for you. They tell you that if you're good, you'll get presents, you'll be rewarded. And for a while that happens. But as you get older, you begin to deal with more complicated situations. When you enter middle school, you realize that no matter how nice you are to people, that doesn't necessarily stop them from spreading rumors about you. Your friends begin to find boyfriends and girlfriends, and you have to make the decision whether or not you want to be in a relationship yourself. In this world, Santa has outgrown his usefulness. You've already learned the lessons that Santa teaches, and now you have to figure out things for yourself. I'm now a junior in college. It's been a long time since I was in middle school, and it's been an even longer time since the night that I discovered my father eating Santa Claus's applesauce. I'm beginning to realize that there's something special about that time of life, when the distinction between reality and imagination blurs. When you're young, it seems possible that Santa really could live in a place like the North Pole, surrounded by his elves and magical flying reindeer. Think of how optimistic the Santa Claus myth sounds. That if you're good, you'll receive presents not only in your childhood, but for your entire life. And that if you're in India, Santa Claus will come to India and deliver presents there. That's why my friends and I, after finding that awful letter in the kitchen trash, staying up late only to find our parents eating Santa's food, and sitting through that super awkward puberty talk, even after all of that, we will all lie to our children. We will all tell our children that Santa exists. Let's just hope they won't hear this story on air before they're ready.